Welcome to this Rapid Reaction podcast, which is the shorter version of the Reaction podcast. And we're going to talk for the next 7, 8, 9 minutes about the news of the day and try and give you a taste of what we're thinking about it all and explain a little of what's happening. I'm Ian Martin, editor of Reaction. I'm joined by Maggie Pagano, who is executive editor of Reaction. If you're not a Reaction subscriber, go to the website. It's reduced to £26 for the year at the moment. Become a subscriber and get access to all the great work that our team does. So today we're going to talk briefly, I think, Maggie, about, well, the situation is very serious in terms of number of deaths. We're going to talk a bit about what's happening with banking. And I think first you're going to explain who Alok Sharma is, because I noticed on social media while the Downing Street press conference was going on, people are saying, who is this person? And they hadn't seen him before.
No, absolutely. He's very new. He was only came into the cabinet, with Boris Johnson. But in fact, he's been around since 2010. He's been housing minister and employment, and now as business secretary. And although there was some criticism, I think mainly his answer to testing, which the government don't seem to be able to get right at the moment, he was pretty definite about the role of the banks. Yeah. And he put it very, very clearly, if the banks don't help out now, then, you know, then they really will be in bad books with the government. And he made the point that the taxpayer had bailed them out in 2008, and now was their time to return the favour. I mean, yeah, he left no room for any doubt in that answer. And I think that was absolutely what was needed.
Just a further bit of background. So he had quite an impressive career before going into politics, and a family history and connection with the Tory party. Bright guy in my experience, and someone who's highly rated, although not widely known, but people should probably get used to seeing more.
Absolutely.
Of him. I mean, on the banks, it is, I posed the question on social media today, and I have to say I've had lots of responses from people who are really worried about it, and small business people, but there don't seem to be many examples, if any, of people actually accessing this stuff. Now, is that simply because it's only a week since they said that it would be up and running and the banks are themselves overrun? Or is it that the banks are struggling to try and identify what actually counts as a viable business in very strange circumstances? And they are, as you've pointed out, Maggie, they're actually awash with cash for all sorts of reasons at the moment.
Indeed. And I think, Ian, the straight answer is that it's a combination of all those factors. And I have had confirmed today that there are a number of loans which have been approved. I've had that on the record from the UK Finance, which is the sort of trade body representing British banks. Are there any numbers and any more details? He said no, but they are going to establish a record and they will be publishing them at due course. But, you know, I sort of went back a couple of times. Absolutely, definitely, some of the loans have gone through. Might be two or three, who knows? And they've certainly had hundreds of thousands of applications. But I think they've also been quite clear. I've looked at their guidelines again, that you have to establish that you have an ongoing business and can't get it from elsewhere, you know, the traditional commercial lending. But there was quite room for interpretation. From what I can gather, they're not going to be quite as strict about having to prove that when things all get better, that you will be back into profit, because that's an impossibility. And I think the banks have had to sort of, I guess it's an online application, there's an awful lot they've got to absorb. But I think after today's kick from Alok Sharma, and he also mentioned that Rishi Sunak would be making further statements on this in the next few days, I think they're on the case.
I mean, see, of course there is, as you've pointed out, Maggie, there's the potential for fraud. And of course, anyone, a taxpayer, wants to avoid a situation which a business which was effectively bust before this, or heading for being bust before this crisis broke out, tries to just tap some money. But I mean, I know from people who have applied through it, it shouldn't be that difficult to work out. If you're putting in your signed accounts and and your numbers produced by your accountant for the previous 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And you can see what sort of profit the business has made for the previous 3 years. And that's, these are things which are fairly easy for a company or for a finance director or with the aid of the auditor to produce that. And companies do seem to be producing that. Then it goes into the void, or people sit waiting for the bank to look at it. And the bank takes a kind of, well, we'll call you back view of it. I think if they don't start to publish those figures in some meaningful way, Maggie, in the next week or so, and show some evidence, it's not simply a case of it's not going to be enough to say yes, they've given out some loans. I think the government, I'd be surprised if the government doesn't fairly soon want them to actually publish much more meaningful data as on. And it's not that they'll be calculating it, be visible to the banks and to the various functions within the bank, each of the clearing banks, how much has been approved, how much has been paid, and how many loans in total. If they are helping, they need fairly quickly, I think, to demonstrate to small business that, and to the government and the bank, Bank of England, which is getting pretty annoyed by all accounts, then they need to start showing it soon.
Yeah, they do. And I think there are two points, really. One is, okay, there might be an element of fraud, but even if it's sort of 0.5%, it might be that they've got to take that risk. You know, you don't start quibbling with that at this such an extraordinary time. And secondly, most of the demand for the loans are actually small loans. The 250,000 above, most of those companies have existing commercial relationships. So it's actually the sort of 1 to 10, 1 to 40 employee company that are most vulnerable. The restaurants, the hairdressers, the, you know, two-man, three-man plumbing business. It's those real micro businesses, which is absolutely, I mean, Napoleon said we're a nation of shopkeepers. Actually, we could change that. We're a nation of micro businesses, and they provide 60% of all employment. So they've got to get on the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, very well put. It's that business which it could have been very conservatively run. There may be a small cash cushion, but they're not businesses necessarily that like taking debt, and that can clearly be seen in the looking back and reading the balance sheet of the last 2-3 years. That's what banks are supposed to be able to do that in a fairly straightforward fashion. Well, we'll see in the next few days, I think, whether there is any movement or not. There's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Actually,
what did I say? It's actually 60% of all private sector employment comes from SMEs. You know, they cannot afford for even a quarter of these businesses to go bust, because you're going to have such a huge unemployment problem. And of course, then the government's got to pay for that as well. So far better to underwrite the loans to the banks.
You mentioned a testing question, which has become, well, there are many questions, but for example, and let's not get into it on this, but the various debates there are about the tracking of the death rate and where we are and how countries are tracking alongside each other. I'm not sure. That is clearly a much bigger number, and we've come a long way in a very grim fashion in the last week or so. But we just have to hope that at some point it does flatten out. But on the testing question, the government is getting a lot of stick on this. And you said that Alex Sharma couldn't answer the question. I thought he looked, as government ministers tend to at the moment, when presented with this question, they look embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this is because they don't know the answer, or something has gone wrong in the system, or there's a fight within government about it. But the answers are pretty waffly, aren't they?
They are, and they're always on the back foot, aren't they? Rather than stepping forward and explaining where we are. you know, we know the German comparison, and as our young reporter Jack Dickens has written eloquently for us about in great detail, you know, they were on the front foot for all sorts of very interesting reasons. They've got a federal state system, they've got a bigger manufacturing base, but I suspect that maybe they feel so embarrassed because actually the World Health Organization advice is to fight all these viruses, you should have testing equipment. And I expect we're about 6 weeks late with that. And that should have been, those decisions should have been taken much, much earlier. So the British, the small British companies that supply, and we have to make clear here, we're talking about the testing, not the antibody test, have actually been selling a lot of the kits overseas. So suddenly, you know, so there wasn't, I think we were missing some joined up action, maybe at the beginning of March, end of February, where somebody should, in the cabinet, should have said, right, or the NHS. I mean, let's not just say this was a cabinet decision. You know, it's unclear, isn't it, what Whitty and Sir Patrick Vallance's view on this. There's a gap.
There's a very good piece of reporting by Lawrence Friedman on the New Statesman site. It's a magazine this week, which is really worth reading, where he established, and I think various newspapers have followed it up today, he established that really a chain of what had happened by looking at the minutes of one of the key committees where all of the key medical professionals were together, essentially the key committee advising the government on whether suppression was working, containment, and what point to scale up measures. Now, we're not alone in having been caught a bit flat-footed just by the speed at which this thing developed. Other European countries had that as well. But it's a very interesting, painstaking piece of reporting where he explains what the minutes show. And they show a lot of confusion and debate. And among, I think, well-intentioned people dealing with a fast-moving situation. But it did occur to me reading that something which is almost not an afterthought, but something which gets lost in this is that question of testing and ramping up. Ramping up, we keep talking about that phrase, ramping up capacity. Mm. It doesn't quite happen. Other thing I'd flag up would be a fascinating interview in the Spiegel with one of the bosses of one of the main manufacturers of ventilators in Germany, where he makes clear that things are not perfect in Germany either, and there is a huge demand and there is an international trade. So British companies in Northern Ireland, for example, the company you know, Maggie, which have been selling abroad, it's not as though it's not a unique British feature that this trade is, that some of this kit is going abroad. It's happening in Germany and in France as well. But I just, what I wish the government would do on the testing question is just be clear with people. If a decision has been taken that actually we don't need mass testing, Jeremy Hunt, former health secretary, says we do mass community testing, and I'm pretty persuaded as a lay person studying this stuff that at some point we're going to, certainly beyond this phase, we're going to need preparation for maybe phase two, and that clearly the evidence globally is that the testing is a major part of that. But it would just be good to know precisely what the government's position is, and they should be honest about it. Do you think I'm being unfair?
No, I think that's right. It's clarity, and sometimes the politicians are trying to answer too much. So my feeling is, maybe this is a wrong parallel, but you know, during the Second World War, Winston Churchill brought in Max Beaverbrook to head up production and so forth. I sort of feel we need a really serious figure like that who goes, right, I'm in charge of testing. Every company, whether it's Shoreside in Derby or Randox and whatever, they have one line, and that he's the one who's answering. Don't you feel, or a team? Because government ministers cannot, you know, Alok Sharma can't be responsible for sorting out the banks and sorting out the testing. It's just not possible.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they're being hit by, in terms of the press conference performances, they're trying to vary the number of people that are seen, and they're also trying to vary the to reduce the contact risk, aren't they? And
yeah.
Boris himself is obviously self-isolating. They did let it be known that he was taking personal responsibility for testing, or was leading up the effort. That was yesterday or the day before. Not quite sure what that means, other than the Prime Minister saying that he's leading it up. But I think you're right. They'd probably be forgiven quite a bit for the next few weeks, because all of the focus is on just really hoping and working flat out to try and ensure that the NHS doesn't fall over, considering that the peak or the spike is happening now. But beyond that, I think Jeremy Hunt is absolutely right. There's going to have to be a pretty urgent debate and plan drawn up, which explains lessons learned from phase one and how they will be applied in a coordinated way in phase two. Shall we wrap
things up? And also, unless you do that mass testing, Ian, how will people feel comfortable enough about re-entering? I mean, two of my children think they've had it. One of them is a sort of in the medical world. Now, if he's had it, he would love to have that test, and he can go back and help. And whether people buy it individually or whatever, I think the mass testing is the only way that I can see us coming back to some sort of normality.
Well put. I think we'll wrap things up there for this evening. This was a Rapid Reaction podcast. If you're not a subscriber to Reaction, go to the site, and it's really easy to become a subscriber and support all the great journalism that our team produce. And until next time, thank you very much for listening.